We are back.
We are.
That was a long hiatus. Yep. I think the last time we went live, well, I guess we never go live. The last time we put out a podcast was, what was the date here? May 19th.
Wow.
So this has been about a two-month hiatus.
That's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah, it's I think for me, there was so much going on during the end of May, beginning of June, between trying to, at least for me and for the ministry we have here at Ball State, just trying to figure out our groove for the summer. That was also right in the middle of when a lot of the racial tension was really, really high. Yeah. On, just going all over the country with the riots ensuing and protests and stuff like that. And, you know, in one hand, we had just had a really great conversation with Chris Mack. And if you haven't listened to those conversations previously, I encourage you to go back and listen to those. But we were just talking about racial reconciliation and things that had been going on in our culture. And so in some ways, I felt like it would have been really insensitive of us to just post about something else, you know, and just record a different podcast that wasn't talking about that at all. But at the same time, I'm like, we just talked about that. And so I'm not against talking about it again. Right. But I was just like, you know, why don't we just redirect and go listen to these episodes that already have really good content in it. Right. And then we had vacations.
We did.
We both went on vacation on different weeks. You moved. So we just had, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I
guess I was just the week before you moved.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. So it's just been we're coming back. We're not done. You know, we haven't been canceled, although there's a lot of things that have been canceled and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but we're not canceled. We're not quitting. We took a 2-month hiatus, but we are gearing up to have some really good guests here in the future.
Excited.
Yeah, we got some. I'm not going to spoil them. I'll let them be surprises, but some really cool stuff coming. So excited for where the podcast is going. So we apologize for the delay. We apologize for being away for 2 months, but it's just kind of how it happened. It needed to happen. But
yeah. I'll say, I know like in that little brief time, I saw a couple people like recommend our podcast.
Yeah.
I don't remember who he was, but I know somebody was asking about like recommendations for podcasts and somebody recommended ours. I think it's probably somebody you know.
Yeah.
But I thought, wow, that's really cool. So thank you to all who give a recommendation.
Yeah, definitely. It was a Chi Alpha guy. He's just kind of been listening to our podcast. He's quoted us a few times. So I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, man, that's cool.
I don't get quoted all that often. But yeah, so thanks for recommending us. Those of you who've passed along to the friends and people who have like, and they've just messaged us privately talking about like, we've had really good conversations and they've really benefited from that. And that's what we do the podcast for. You know, we want to have a good conversation, thoughtful conversation. We try not to make it an echo chamber. You know, I just don't want to like regurgitate things I agree with all the time. You know, so I try to think nuanced and things like that, but we're back, so we're going to hopefully not have another 2-month hiatus. We're hoping to kind of hit a stride and be able to record ahead of time and keep season 2 going of the Pothole Pastors podcast.
Yep. Yeah, I'm excited. I think
you've been doing some filming recently.
I have, yeah. In fact, I'm going again this week. My buddy BG, he works for like a ministry. They do like disaster relief. Mm-hmm. Out of Noblesville, so which is really cool. If there's like any disasters, well, disasters aren't cool, but like he gets to travel and like document this stuff. But anyways, they're doing a VBS curriculum for next summer with their ministry. So this summer they're filming it and they're doing like an Indiana Jones theme. So it's called Indiana Josh. It's, you know, a knockoff.
Oh goodness!
And so he wrote the script and then filming it, and we filmed at Turkey Run. We're going up to the dunes to film. And that's been really fun. So it's kind of nice to get back into like doing filming stuff again. Of course, I did a lot of stuff for church, but it's kind of nice to do more creative stuff because you're doing different shots. And so it's kind of nice to get my feet wet again and literal feet wet because you're like, a lot of times you're in a creek and like they're walking through. So yeah, you're filming. So
I got my feet wet today when
I
went fishing. just the third time this summer, but this time I actually caught something. It was just a very little bass. It was not a very big fish at all, but I caught something, and then I got caught on a rock, and the rock won because I was trying to get it out of the, you know, out of the water, and so it was stuck. I'm like, well, I'm going to wade out, and so I took my shoes off, waded out into the water, and, you know, didn't get it. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I think last time I went fishing with you, we both got stuck on that tree. We were kind of by the...
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? We both got stuck. That's so frustrating.
Yeah, fishing can be frustrating because the fish are either biting or they're not, you know, and you just kind of have to be in the right spot. And I mean, it does take skill, like in knowing what kind of fish are in the water,
right.
What kind of lures are you using. I'm not that good. I just kind of go out and throw it out in the water and hope I catch something. So.
Right. All my experiences with fishing, even if I don't catch something, which is usually what happens, I usually have a really good time. I mean, especially if I go with people, and I usually do. It's just really peaceful, and I don't know. I mean, I'd like to catch something, but even if I don't, it's still fun.
Right, yep. Well, do you have a Midwest moment?
Oh.
I'm really glad that was the right button, because I kind of, as I hit it, I almost thought it wasn't the right one, but it is.
Oh.
Yes. So if you're in Muncie, Wheeling's all torn up. And so I had to take an alternate way to work because I moved. So I live on the opposite side. But anyways, so I take a different way. But there's a house that I pass by every time I go to work. And they have a toilet on their front porch. Now, it's not like, and they have some yard, not much. So it's not like out by the yard, like they're getting rid of it. Like it's by their front door, and it looks like it's supposed to be there. Like they meant to put it there. So I don't know if they like use it to.
Have you seen someone use this toilet?
No, thank goodness not.
It's like facing the road.
It's facing the road. Yep. So I don't know if like.
Really?
They just sit on it to watch traffic go by, or if they, I doubt they actually use it. I hope they don't. But. Yeah, it's weird because it was there like a week ago.
Can you tell if it's like hooked up to pipes or anything?
I can't tell. I should like go up there and I should make flyers for the church and like doing door to door and go to the door and give a flyer and ask about their toilet.
I wonder, I mean, have you seen it multiple times? Like it's not just one?
Yeah, I've seen it multiple times because I saw it the first time. I thought, well, maybe they're just getting rid of it, you know, but then like a week later, it was still there. So it's like, okay, I feel like if you're getting rid of it, you know, you would just get rid of it, especially a toilet. It's kind of
right. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, so. That's weird. I know. I guess that fits your fancy.
So. I was thinking at first, like maybe, oh, they're putting it out on the porch because they're renovating inside and they're going to put it back inside.
Right. Oh, that's
but
true.
You think, especially something like a toilet's pretty important for you to have in the house if you need it. You know what I mean? So,
right. Maybe they get a new one, and I thought, let's just. Put it on the porch.
They could maybe not have a truck to haul it away or something, or maybe their car's not big enough. They want to throw it away, but they can't. I don't know.
It's
interesting. Well, that's interesting. mine does not involve a toilet. This is out of Michigan. So any students or maybe parents of students, particularly elementary and high school, middle school kids, a Michigan girl sent to juvenile detention for not doing online schoolwork. Mm. So a Michigan girl was incarcerated in May. After she allegedly failed to finish her online schoolwork. I won't say her name since it's probably, well, it's in the news, but I'm not going to because she's a minor. But it was like a 15-year-old girl was in custody in the Detroit area juvenile detention center for roughly 2 months. Now, after a judge ruled she violated her probation by not completing online, so apparently she was already on probation, but she didn't complete her online coursework amid the coronavirus pandemic. Does say that this young lady has ADHD, a learning disorder that she said caused her to feel unmotivated, overwhelmed while online learning, which I think is a legit thing. I mean, I've thought about that a lot of like, what about special needs students and people with learning disorders. I'm sure this has not been an easy time.
Right.
And this person, this director of the Juvenile Justice Network, Ricky Watson, he's saying, who can even be a good student right now? Unless there's an urgent need, I don't understand why you would be sending a kid to any facility right now and taking them away from their families.
Right.
And when they're dealing with all this. So, Yeah, wow. I haven't heard of anything like that here.
I haven't either.
Honestly, I know that in a lot of schools anymore, they don't even give homework to kids because basically no one does it. And so, yeah, that's interesting. I guess they're pretty intense up there in Michigan. So
I guess, man, 2 months is kind of a long time.
Yeah, incarcerated for 2 months for not doing a report.
And she's only 15. Man, that'd scare the bejeebies out of me if that happened to me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she'll do her homework. I don't know. That's my Midwest moment. Shout out to Michigan for being an intense.
I feel like Michigan, Missouri, and Ohio are some of the most stories that we get.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Missouri's high up there. Michigan's up there. Michigan had that wonderful story about the ex-strip club turned into a Christian school. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
I can't remember what episode that is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was a great story. Well, Adam, one of the most debated topics right now that if you're on any social media for any amount of time, even any news outlet, you're basically on any kind of media news information outlet, there's a raging debate going on about should we or should we not be wearing masks.
Yeah. Man, I was at Best Buy. This has been like a month or two ago. This is like right before things opened up and Best Buy is closed. I don't know if they're still or not. But anyways, I had to go pick up something for church. And so they have like their curbside pickup. You order online and someone brings it out to you. So I'm sitting in my car waiting for the guy to bring me my order. And this guy comes up, he's not wearing a mask or anything, and he tries to go in the store, and the employee was real nice. He's like, hey, I'm sorry, we're closed. You know, if you call ahead, you can set an appointment up and blah, blah, blah. And this guy got upset. He's like, I've got constitutional rights and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just sitting in my car. Well, A, I'm trying not to laugh because it's kind of funny. But B, it's just like, dude, there's a pandemic going on, and like, nobody needs this right now, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I know a lot of people feel like it's like a weird, they'll claim like, oh, it's a violation of my rights. I should be able to do what I want, you know? And that's just very, I don't know, stubborn, I guess is the word. And you could use a lot extreme word for that, but I don't know. For me, it's just like, just put one on. Cause I mean, when you go outside, like I don't wear one if I'm outside, unless I'm like shoulder to shoulder to people, which is very rare. But like if I'm inside, I'm not the best at wearing them, but I've been trying to remember to bring a mask to wear just because A, it helps other people, but two, it's like I don't want to get anything. But especially working in a church, there's a lot of older people and sometimes they'll come right up to me. And so it's like I would feel terrible if I had it and didn't know it and they got it just because they wanted to say hi to me or something. So I just try to wear it, if anything, to be respectful of other people. And a lot of times it makes other people feel comfortable.
Right. Yeah, I've thought a lot about this and I've went back and forth and I've probably landed on several different takes over this entire pandemic time. You know, I think at first I didn't really take it very seriously. And then when I saw the virus rising, I did take it more seriously. We had masks. But then, you know, as it went on, it just seems like the thing that confuses me the most is it seems like we don't know much at all about the virus, you know, and it seems like we get new information all the time and information that tends to contradict each other and information that is just fabricated that nobody actually knows. Like the amount of lists I've seen go around social media of here is what we know about COVID-19. And it'll say things like, you know, it can't survive in heat. It can't do blah, 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 you know, and I've never heard any kind of health professional actually say that.
Right.
Plus, it's like it's raging in Florida and Texas, and it's hot that down there, you know.
Right.
And so, I understand that it's inconvenient. I do. Right. I do get that. Right. I don't like wearing it either.
I don't either.
I don't. Yeah, especially in the summer, it's hot. It's inconvenient. I don't like it. There's a lot of times where I'm going into a store and I don't want to put one on, but I do think about, you know, the fact of like what I just said. We don't know much about this virus.
Right.
We don't know much. And I have family members who are like, they're in the health professions, you know, they work in hospitals and stuff like that. And they're not really convinced that masks do much, but at least for the virus or whatever, because I think still the mask can't hurt.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of where I've come down to is like the mask can't hurt to wear.
Right.
Maybe it's not helping that much, but if it's helping a little bit, isn't it worth, can you imagine if every American just decided I'm going to wear a mask. I'm just going to do it whether it helps or not. And what if it really does help?
Right.
You know, maybe if maybe it's kind of one of those things where it's like a little bit from everyone goes a long way.
Right.
But, man, you don't want to be the person who's really arrogant and just, being that guy at Best Buy. I have constitutional rights. And he be the guy that contracts COVID-19 and spreads it all over the place.
Right.
But still, the best solution is, like what they've said since the very beginning, wash your hands frequently. Don't touch your mouth. Don't touch your eyes. Don't stick your fingers in your nose. Stuff like that.
Right.
Which is all good hygiene practice.
Even if there's not a virus.
If there's no virus. That's just hygiene, you know? And so I think for me as a Christian, I thought a lot about this, especially as a pastor, as a Christian, someone who's leading people, trying to teach them how to follow Jesus. I have come down to I need to model well. And so I will wear a mask when I'm in new places. I'll encourage people to wear masks, you know, when I'm at church, and that's a regulation. That's what I do. If I've traveled anywhere, like outside of Muncie, I will wear it when I come back, and we kind of have it on at services. If we've been around people, kind of like you and I, we've been around each other a lot.
Right.
I'm a little bit more lax. I'm sure at some points, some people who are super mask wearers would like get down on me real hard. But there's other times I wear a mask when maybe I don't need to, that super anti-mask people would, you know, but I'm like, at this point, it doesn't hurt.
Right.
So when I go into public, when I go into the stores, I just wear the masks, you know, I just wear it. I don't make a fuss about it. I don't like it. Doesn't mean you have to like it.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, you know, I bet Jesus would wear a mask.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he would, you know, because it's like he's loving his neighbor well. It may not be helping that much, but it's like if it helps people feel safe, and maybe perhaps he really would, or say he, we really are helping by keeping anything coming from us. And from what I understand, that's what the masks really do supposed to do, is help keep like spit and stuff coming from our mouth and things like that. So I'm just like, you know.
I think Jesus would also just miraculously create a vaccine. Or just
he might
heal the virus or something,
you know. But well, interesting enough, he didn't just make a vaccine for all the illness that he had in the world.
That's true.
He could have just healed it all, but he didn't. He tended to kind of go person by person,
right?
You know. So
I was mostly joking.
I know. But
Although I will say, I've noticed more people wearing masks now. And I don't know if it's because like it's on the rise, as they say. And so I have noticed people wear masks more. Mm-hmm. And so in that, I feel more comfortable wearing it. That makes sense. Cause I don't feel like I'm like the only one.
I am so amazed. I know we didn't plan to talk about this, but we at least need to touch on it. I am amazed the amount of Christians that buy into wacko conspiracy theories.
Oh my gosh.
Like I've heard it all, man.
It's nuts.
I've heard it all. Like
I don't get it.
There, it's like some kind of secret organization to take, make a one world order.
Oh, gosh.
And I better watch what I say because like, I'm sure I could get.
I will never forget. Like, well, somebody I don't know who, but I heard somebody else was telling me that they had a church member who, like, when churches first started opening up, and they said, "Hey, we're gonna highly like suggest you wear a mask." And they were kind of upset, like, well, we're not going to come if you're going to require masks, because to us that shows that you don't have faith and trust in God that he's going to protect you. And it's just like God gives you a common sense, you know.
Well, has that person ever went to the dentist, eye doctor, doctor at all? Do you go to the store and buy food? God could miraculously provide you bread. Where's your faith?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's so, and that makes me so upset. Because
I know,
it's
it drives me nuts.
Because we treat the miraculous in the Bible like it is the normative experience for even the first century Christians and things like that. That they recorded those things. but what if like 95% of our life was just ordinary?
Right.
Like that we had to work really hard and we had to just go buy our own food and we had to suffer. You know, we had to go to a doctor. We had to, you know what I mean? It's like
right.
we tend to really elevate that supernatural, miraculous experience. But what if that just wasn't like, I'm Pentecostal. I'm all for the spiritual gifts, right. healing, tongues, prophecy, words of knowledge, right. all that, you know, I'm for it all.
Right.
But what if God just wants us to trust that he's going to provide for us one way or another, whether it's miraculous or not. Right. And we just trust that. But man, some of these conspiracy theories, like, you know, it, of course, it's so convenient that it's an election year. It's both sides. It's not even just conservatives or only liberals or whatever. It's right. it's everyone, you know, right. and it's just like that Trump has, you know, I've heard that Trump has made this coronavirus thing up so that he can solve it, so he can win the election. And I've heard the exact opposite is that the liberals have all made it up to try to undertake, you know, President Trump so that, you know, who is it? Biden can win. Well, yeah. First it was Bernie Sanders, then he dropped out. So now, of course, now, oh no, it was really Biden the whole time. And I'm like, can we just like stop? Like, and especially the amount of Christians that believe that. And it's embarrassing, really.
It really is. It's pretty bad.
If we're so tied up in this society, in this culture, in this world, like the world system, I'm not talking the world as a whole, because I believe right. as Christians, this is our home. I think it's always going to be our home. God's going to renew it. But if we're so tied into the culture and the, you know, and the world system that we get so upset and been out of shape, that is where I think our faith is in danger.
Right.
Because we're not really, we're like, it's like Jesus plus, you know what I mean? Not right. only Jesus and in that worldview. And so I think like, can we love our neighbor? I know that was like our last episode we just yeah. had. Love our neighbor really, really well, as if it is the very last thing we could ever do, is love this person really well.
Right.
Let's read our Bible and not conspiracy theories online. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit and not the super whacked out preacher that is somehow pulling out all this information and this knowledge that he has. It's coming out of nowhere. Yeah. And if we just did that, we'd be in pretty good shape, I think.
Remember when Obama got elected, people were saying,
oh,
like,
mercy.
Oh, he's going to build concentration camps for Christians. Like, I mean, I heard that as a kid.
Right.
And I'm just like,
I'm like, how ridiculous. Like, come on, man. Like, it's as if a Democrat's never been a Christian. It's like, of course they're Christians.
Right.
But then there's the same, but it's the same way when Trump was elected. I mean, I can remember the deep mourning and like anxiety and like scared spirits, you know, and I'm just like, you know, we have to have an eschatology, like a view of the end right. and our hope for the future that goes way beyond an election, because there's going to always be something that can like rile us up.
Oh yeah.
And sure, they might point to something, you know, eventually, but I'm like, come on, you know, and
right.
Yeah. So right. I don't know. Hopefully that doesn't upset too many people, but I'm just like, can we just, let's just read the Bible. If we just read the Bible, we'd be and learn how to read the Bible well.
Right.
So I heard somebody say, I read the literal parts literally, and I read the literary parts, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm like, that's really good, because we cannot just go gung-ho into Revelation and just start reading what we want to read into that. You
right.
know what I mean? You can't read the Psalms the same way you read an instruction epistle in the New Testament. You just can't, you know?
Right.
And so we have to learn to read well. If you're looking for a really good resource to read the Bible really well, it's called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth by Gordon Fee.
Need to get that.
It's very good. It's very helpful. Also, check out the Bible Project. They have those videos where they kind of break down not only every book, but now they have the theme videos.
Those
so
nice.
Yeah, like it'll talk about, here's how you read apocalyptic literature. Here's how you read the Gospels. Here's how, it's just super helpful, because you need to understand, like, it's just like, and we kind of intrinsically know this. We read an instruction manual much different than we read a fiction novel.
Right.
You know what I mean? But for real, we look at the we look at the library of scripture, but often we see multiple genres spread across the entire Bible. It's not just one book. It's 66 books. It's a library.
Right.
And we have to read it like that, you know, and understand what book are we pulling off the shelf. If I took, you know, Mary Poppins and read that like an instruction manual, my life's going to be really weird. It's probably nothing not going to work. You know what I mean? And so
kind of funny.
I heard someone say before that the Bible isn't an instruction manual, but it's more of like a window that we view the world through. And so I think that's really, really good. But I don't know how we got onto that. But anyway.
I agree.
We had one more thing we wanted to chat about, because this has been kind of we've talked about this in passing and throughout these last couple months, but cancel culture.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with cancel culture, which I'm not sure if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably pretty current on stuff. So I'm sure you do. But for those who don't, you know, cancel culture is kind of like this idea of we don't agree with you, you know, or there's something that you did terribly in the past, whether it was social media, whatever, you know, it's just like we find some reason to just not only disagree with you, but to completely cancel you, run you off the stage.
Right.
You know, and
which sounds a lot like, you remember like when you're in elementary school and like you're playing kickball, somebody gets upset and it's their ball and they take the ball and go home.
Right. And so again, it's not as simple as like everybody just needs to get over it. I don't think that at all, because there are people, you know, so there's been people that have come out, you know, and they have learned that this actor, this pastor, a author, whatever, has been, you know, doing this really wicked thing for years and getting away with it. In that case, it's like, I think there needs to be justice done. There does need to be something happening.
Right.
But I found this really interesting. So there was I can't remember the actor's name, but there was somebody on a TV show that I like to watch, and he had some really, really like misogynistic, sexist, racist tweets from several years ago on Twitter. Several years ago, you know, and it had no one knew about it, or maybe people just never looked back far enough. Whatever, it wasn't public knowledge, really. And this guy has recently come out to be very active in like social stances and stuff like that. So very clear that this guy, at least from what he puts out, doesn't do the same kind of things. But it's really interesting, because in the show, he played a really slimy, terrible person, but he found friends and they changed his life and he kind of became a good guy.
Yeah.
Now, I find it really interesting. We love those stories.
Right.
If they're just stories. Yeah. But we often don't spread that grace and extend that mercy to people in real life.
Very true.
You know, because you know, this guy, you know, obviously did something wrong and he apologized, but he lost his job. Everybody just ran him off social media. And I'm like, that's where I think cancel culture goes too far, because we can't just cancel everyone we disagree with. Because like, again,
you're
I think they're
cancel yourself.
Well, yeah, but I'm so glad that I didn't have social media when I was super young, because I'm probably said stupid stuff.
Right.
And I would love to believe that I'm a different man, even from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I'm different than I was, you know, and I hope that, you know, I think of a lot what the Bible says about love rejoices in truth. So I think there's an element of cancel culture that's like, we want to rejoice in truth. We want the truth to come out. We need justice. And I think that's the good element. It's not all bad. But it says that love believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And so what I'm concerned is what I see is like the Christian market getting caught up into cancel culture and just like, yeah, we need to cancel them too. But in my opinion, cancel culture is one of the most anti-gospel movements that's been coming out in the last several years.
Well, and I feel like cancel culture doesn't even, to me, I see it as a band-aid. People get really upset and like, we need to take down this statue. And sometimes the statue is not meant for what they think it's meant, you know, or we need to take away the sports team's name and blah, blah, blah. And for me, it's like, I mean, there are some things that are like, I mean, there are some blatantly racist things in our...
Like the Redskins name. I mean, that is just racist. Like, I think that's needed to be changed for a long time, personally. And but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Right, about. And there are some things like, yeah, that needs to be changed. We need to get rid of, you know, X, Y, and Z. But there are just some things where it's like, you know, if you want to take down the statue, go for it, but it doesn't change anything, in my opinion, in my view.
Sure, yeah.
Because it's like, the issue's still there, you know, and you can't, well, you can't change history, sadly.
Right.
I mean, I wish we could, but my thing is, it's like, if you really want to move forward and change, like, taking down a statue or changing someone's name isn't going to do squat, in my opinion. Sure. It's like, you have to face the music yourself and like, okay, what change can I bring in my own life, you know, and help other people do the same.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, and like, you're talking about people who, they posted something a long time ago and now people are, you know, razzing on them for it. It's like, some of those same people will say stuff in private that is just as bad or worse, and then they go and, you know, criticize somebody else. And it's just like, give grace for people who, because everybody changes. You know, when you're 10 years old, you say stupid stuff, but I hope when you're 30, you're not saying that same right. stuff. You know, I remember somebody said, like, they've been married for a really long time, and somebody had asked them, like, what do they do about disagreements and arguments and stuff like that? Do you still wish you married your wife in those moments or whatever? Or is she still the same person? I don't remember exactly how they worded it. But anyways, he said, like, when I made a decision back 30 years ago to marry my wife, I made a decision not just that day, but for the rest of my life, obviously.
Every day.
And that means all the changes that comes along with it, you know? Like, right. obviously, she changes, you change. And you got to roll with it. You yeah. know, you got to be a grown up and you got to deal with it.
Right. So. Yeah. Cause I'm all for the justice. I'm all for bringing truth
right.
out. And, but I'm deeply convinced that Christian community doesn't cancel each other.
Right.
We fight for each other. We might fight with each other at times, but we're committed to one another and we're going to honor each other and we're not going to give up on each other, that we're going to fight for us all to come into unity. We're going to all fight to like, be able to see the good in everybody and to call out. Absolutely. There is a place for that, but it's just really interesting that, you know, we all want justice, but God introduces himself as a God of mercy and compassion and love. Judgment, yes.
Right.
But if you look at like Exodus 34, where he's revealing himself to Moses on the mountain, he talks about, you know, the Hebrew idiom where it's like, I extend, oh, how's it go? I'm going to misquote it, but I extend my love for 1,000 generations, but I won't let the guilty go unpunished. He essentially says, I'm going to carry out judgment to the 3rd and 4th generation. And that might sound like, oh man, that's kind of weird. Like, why are you going to like carry out the sins of the father for several generations?
Right.
But it's the Hebrew poetic idiom way of saying like his mercy is far heavier than his judgment. You know, that God's yeah. more of mercy, more of love, more of going to stick it out than judgment. I'm certainly glad that was true in my life for God when he could have like just kicked me to the curb
right.
and said, yeah. you know, we're done. So I think as Christians, we're called just to be a people that are going to stick with each other, that we're going to absolutely rejoice in truth, that we're going to call people to account right. and we're going to be catalysts to change. Like, I think, yeah, changing names that are blatantly offensive to, maybe right. it's not offensive to me, probably because I'm not a Native American,
right.
but what if the Native Americans feel very offensive?
Right.
And especially like, let's face the history of our nation. We came in an American, well, I shouldn't say we, I guess, but I guess, you know, white European people came in
right.
and like murdered Native Americans and took right. land. And so,
right.
and then we have the audacity to want to call out one of our champion moneyed franchises with their name, you know?
Right.
I don't think that's right.
Right.
I think there's a reason to be upset. Do I think we need to am I going to cancel you because you might disagree with me? No,
right.
but I'm going to be able to state my case. You know what I mean? We can disagree.
Right.
And still remain and be brothers, you know, and sisters and family. We can disagree within the family. I have a mentor of mine who often says, like, if I have disagreements with people with theological issues, social issues, whatever, he's like, well, it's a large, you know, this gathering is a large tent. This assembly is a large tent, and there's room for all of us here. And
right.
I think we do well to remember that.
Right. And I really think, I mean, I hope people realize it sooner rather than later, but I think people are going to, I think after, because like everything, this too will pass, you know. But I think once like we get through this, whenever that is or whatever that looks like, I think people are going to look back and see, oh man, we did a lot of little stuff and it really didn't amount to much. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people are going to put all their energy in these little busy work things that may look like on the bigger screen that, oh, this looks really good because we're doing this. When in reality, it's like, it doesn't really put a dent in much, you know? So
something I thought about was, what if taking down the statues, what instead of that, we change the memorial on it, you know? So it kind of could talk about the, you know, if this general, what he did of like commemorating whatever. Cause you know, cause we have to also remember this person was somebody's dad and family member and husband and brother.
Right.
And they might have family still to this day that it's like, yeah, we don't agree with some of those stances, but this is like our family. You know what I mean? And it's like, we do want to have that honor and whatever.
Well, and there's a reason, like there's a reason why you have history too. You know, like,
right.
I mean, A is to, you know, inform people about what happened, but two, it's like, let's not make the same mistake.
We need to learn,
again.
You know, right. if we tear it down, we don't know the history. We're going to repeat it,
right.
But like change the memorial and say, but, this was, and you know, talk about the bad side too, you know, of like, this is, you know, the truth about the, especially down south with like the Confederacy and the Civil War. Here's some of the evil that was going on during this time. And we're not going to honor that necessarily, but we're going to be able to remember. So I just think there's a place for us of like, we can't just, if we're going to go through and cancel America, we should go cancel like all of history. Cause like racism, oppression, sexism, abuse, oppression, that's been all through history. So I don't think we can't just delete it all and act like it's not real. We need to, but I think we can change the way we talk about it, and we can change the perspective. So
when it's so infiltrated in so many people's lives, at least some parts, you know, even like good people throughout history, I am sure have had moments of racism or sexism that they didn't want to or didn't mean, but we're sinful people, you know, things come out and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, if you're going to cancel every little tiny thing that is associated with that, you're pretty much canceling everybody, because almost everybody struggles with something at some point in their life, even if they don't want to, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah. We'll just stop there. I think we went long enough. This is a good welcome back episode. Just stirring the pot right from the beginning.
I like
it. Hey, recommendations. So we've had 2 months.
Oh my goodness. Wait,
I have three recommendations. So I'm going crazy.
Holy smokes.
I read two books on vacation. Okay. One was called Garden City by John Mark Comer. It's wonderful. It talks about work, like a vocation and a theology of, a theology and practice of work, rest, and the art of being human. Mm-hmm. That was a wonderful read. I really recommend that. Also by John Mark Comer, I read two books of his on vacation, God Has a Name. Wow, that's a great book. Like, that'll just change the way you're, like, a lot of ways that you perceive and think about God. It was really, really, really helpful. And then Hamilton. I watched Hamilton recently, on Disney Plus. Very good. It's really, really cool. Not a kid's show, you know. It has some swearing in it and some adult themes. They're not, like, it's not necessarily raunchy. It's just, like, it kind of talks about the realness of what was going on there. So
right.
I wouldn't recommend small kids, but it's really good.
I gotta think now. Oh, I know. I watched, I guess I listened. I mean, you can watch a sermon, but I listened to a sermon by Tim Keller. I was talking about you the other day on Genesis 15,
mm-hmm.
but with Moses talking with God, and he cuts up the animals, you know.
Yeah, it's a very bizarre story.
Very weird, and I never knew what it meant, but he kind of explains it really good. So it's on YouTube. It probably, if you just search Timothy Keller, Genesis 15 sermon, it'll probably pop up. But that'll kind of blow your mind.
Yeah.
And then I guess another recommendation, I watched La La Land for the second time.
That's very good too.
A couple weeks ago. I had watched it about a year ago with my mom. And my mom didn't like it. And it was kind of one of those movies that I watched and I'm like, I like it, but I don't know how I feel about it, you know? And so I watched it again, and like, you catch stuff more, you know, and you like see the hidden things, you know, and what they did. It's like, oh my goodness, this is really good. And it doesn't have a happy ending, but I like that. Like, it's a reflection of life. Like, you choose the choices that you want, and then that's what you get, you know, type of thing. So I really like that movie. I think it's very, very well done.
And it's almost like the anti-Hollywood story, where it was like, you can have it all.
Right.
It was kind of like, you can't have it all.
Yeah.
And you have to choose which dream you're going to kill to pursue. It's
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it a lot. So if you haven't seen it, I recommend that as well. But hey, this is back. We're back. Episode, I don't know what episode.
34.
Yep. So we're back. Episode 34. We have some great guests coming up in the next month or so. So stay tuned. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks for being patient. So if this podcast is something that you like, something that it blesses you, the best thing you can do is leave us reviews and share us with all your friends. But until next time, this is Joey and Adam. I'm Joey.
And I'm Adam.
Yeah, I guess I've never introduced us like that. But anyway, we'll see you later.
Yep, see you guys. Bye.